Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boogie like Benson, I'm a who that. Long as I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or win, I'm a who that. Sports coma, yeah, this is where we do that. Where we do that. Boogie like Benson, I'm a who that. Sports coma, this is where we do that. Welcome. Somebody please better help. Running this thing like Elf. Thank God every day I'm not a felt. Go to YouTube live with Big Q and the guys. If you ain't ride or die, the bandwagon get flipped. Been marching in, that was way for the ring. I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Fucking on town, duck down. Falcons pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much, touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy, then you probably smell the crooked referees on Roger Goodell. Love me like this, and I'm a who that. Every day I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or win, and I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that at. Where we do that at. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that at. Boogie like this, and I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the sports coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
All right, shout out to the fam, man. How y'all doing today, man? What's happening? What's going on, Who That Nation? How y'all doing, man? We in this building for another episode of The Coma, opening up Monday. Shout out to the fam. Welcome. You're now rocking with the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys, where we have intense, entertaining, educating, and enlightening sport talk from your favorite sports fam. Was popping. Shout out to the fam. Appreciate y'all being in the live. Much love to the fam. Man, this one here entitled Saints Cap Challenge 32.6 over restructures plus a new highs. We'll cover all this in this episode of the show. So please feel free to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. And by all means, feel free to share the show on your social media feed. Sports Coma representing the mighty Who That Nation, the great Saint Dank Tank. We up in this thing. Shout out to y'all, man. Appreciate y'all being here. All right. Big ups to everybody, man. Good to see y'all in the building. Bronze, good to see you, fam. Brandon Dot Davis. What's happening, brother? How you doing? OG Jerry. And everybody in the building. That boy alone. Swag fam. Brother Quavadius is in this thing as well. Good to see all y'all, man. Much love. Brother Reginald. I see you, fam. Appreciate you being here. All right. Yeah, Chase. We are the Raiders now. You know what, bro? We talked about that in previous streams, man. Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis, the general mismanager, Slick Mickey Loomis. A lot of people questioning Mickey's sanity right now has allowed the Saints to become the Raiders. And like Mr. Raider, the biggest Raider, is probably going to join in the Saints late after July is over with his court case and all that settled. You know, they got a spot for him. BJ9, shout out to you. Good to see you, fam. Appreciate you as well. Brother Rodney's in this thing. What's up, Tuck? How you doing? Good to see you in the building as well. Big ups, Dana. Much love to the Queens up in here. Appreciate you kindly. What's up, Brother Roe? Brother Roe's in this thing as well. Shout out to you, man. Appreciate y'all being in the stream. All right, so anyway, we got, let's jump into some news, notes, and items, fam. We cover this in this episode of the show. Let's get right into it on this show. All right, so you look at, I have currently on the screen right here, this is Sport Track, Over the Cap. I use Sport Track and Over the Cap. I do prefer both services, but Over the Cap is pretty good. What's up, Brother Craig? How you doing, bro? All right, yeah, but this is currently the numbers right now in terms of the Saints. As you can see there, 32.6 mil in the red, going in the wrong direction. But anyway, this is some of the things that happened. It was a little higher than that. It was $42 million, but the Saints did a little work not too long ago in reworking the contract of Carl Granderson. So let's kind of jump into that. Saints restructured contract with Carl Granderson. Saints continue to clear salary cap space and restructuring one of their top defensive players. Shout out to Bob. Inside NFL, inside of Tom Palacero reported that the Saints are going to restructure the contract, and obviously they did it already. The move is a conversion of the signing bonus signed last year, where it'll clear about $7.2 million in salary cap space. And New Orleans is now reportedly facing a cap deficit of just under $30 million. Now, over the cap has it at 32.6 currently. Now, you know, free agency is set to start March the 13th, and the team has restructured Granderson, Derek Carr, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, defensive tackle, Nathan Shepard, and these moves have cleared to combine around $41 million. And then Granderson, you know, brings them down to the over the cap figure of 32.6, as you can see right here that I have highlighted. So that is currently right now where the black and gold is. Let me kind of it's 32.6. I refreshed it just to make sure. But 32.6 is currently where it is now. Now, of course, Granderson was a guy. Fantastic story about Carl Granderson. We all know and love. Undrafted out of Wyoming. You know, got arrested, was in jail. Case got overturned. Something funny business happened with the judge. Didn't something she wasn't supposed to. Overturned this case. Let him out of jail. Ever since then, he'd been the Saints. And then credit to the Saints for believing in him. Because some people would have just cut bait and run. The Saints actually believed in Carl Granderson, believed in his innocence, and didn't release him. Waited till all his stuff was cleared up, and then he got out, and all he did was show his appreciation by turning in some really good solid numbers to the point where Carl Granderson currently is your best pass rusher. You know what I'm saying? 23 career sacks, 48 QB hits, 33 tackles for a loss, 4 fumbles forced and 2 recovered. 27 years old, best season last year, 8.5 sacks, 20 QB hits, 28 pressures, 14 tackles for a loss, 78 total stops, best numbers of his career. Now, of course, this is the first year, full year where he started, and the man earned himself, undrafted guy that built himself up into an NFL star. Well, not star quite yet, but an NFL starter, rather say that. One of the key pieces of the league's better defenders, Granderson was the team's most consistent defensive lineman last year. The Saints inked him to that 4-year, $35.3 million to be precise. And of course, Granderson's guaranteed money was the most ever for an undrafted defensive lineman. It is the fourth highest for an undrafted player, with former Dallas Cowboy Tony Romo topping at $55 million. In guaranteed money. Now, Granderson appeared in 17 games, 79% of the team's defensive snaps last season, played in 71 of a possible 75 contests over the last 4 years, and has played in 26 consecutive games. So Carl Granderson is the best defensive edge rusher or best defensive end that you have currently. No disrespect to Cam, but we're talking about in terms of current. Cam had like 2 sacks last year, and he was battling that really tough ankle issue. But in terms of the future, you got to give it to Carl Granderson. All right. So, you know, shout out to Carl Granderson, and the Saints continue to try to climb down and trying to see if they can make any other moves shake and happen. You know, so this is, and shout out to Kat Terrell. This is sourced from her article right here where she covered a lot of this the other day. But, you know, but these are some of the moves that the Saints still could make. Right, to get further down, and they're going to touch a lot of these contracts in the next several days, because we know there's a timeline here. Restructure of Ryan Ramczyk, who more than likely Rams not going to play this year. He could be possibly facing a situation where he's not going to play for the rest of his career. Rams knee injuries certainly concerning, but unless he chooses to retire after June 1st, the biggest avenue to open up cap space is restructure it and hope that they can find a solution to the problem. A full restructuring would save almost $12 million against the cap. Saints could add another void a year to spread out the money and even more, and based on this situation. So as we can see, Ryan Ramczyk, that is definitely going to be something that the Saints are going to see about doing, about restructuring his deal and try to get as much money down, because they would be a fool not to. All right. Also restructuring Cam Jordan, who's 35 going into the season, coming off a difficult season where he had only 2 sacks and several injuries. 27 million cap hit is the second highest on the team. 6.7 million roster bonus due to his year, in addition to his $6.3 million base. Converting both the signing bonus and spending, spreading over a 5-year season up to almost $14 million in savings that they can get from Cam Jordan here. So anyway, it'll be something where we have to focus on and see if we can get this done in terms of him. I just think, man, a lot of the stuff that's going on with the Saints and their cap situation could be worked out, and they're going to definitely do it over some of these guys. So we're looking at almost $12 million for Ramczyk. We're looking at savings of almost $14 million for Cam Jordan. The restructuring of DeMario Davis could be something that they do. As he turns 35 this year, they could do a simple restructure and turn his base salary into $2 million roster bonus into a signing bonus, spread it out over the voided years that they'd like to do. That's just over $8 million on DeMario Davis. And, of course, they already did Carl Granderson, $7.2 million, the Cesar Ruiz thing. And then, of course, they mentioned some releasing going on, Marcus May. Releasing Marcus May. This is some ideas that they thrown at doing that. The Granderson thing already happened because this was written prior to it. But you can see if they're sitting at 32.2, working Rams deal at almost 12, and the almost 14 million right there between Cam and if that is exactly the restructuring they're going to do, gets a big chunk of the 32.6 right there, and then another 8. From DeMario Davis there also puts him over, and then they would have to then keep clearing to open up money for signing of draft picks and, of course, whatever free agents that the team is attempting to try to do as well. So getting down to back into the black and then doing other stuff. Now, let's talk about this one right here. She mentions Marcus May, releasing Marcus May. Played 12 total games since he signed with the Saints as a free agent in 22. May is due $7 million in base salary the final year of his contract, which is significant for his age, performance, and availability. Saints could save some money by releasing May and moving on to a young player like Jordan Howden. What would be the savings on releasing Marcus May? An estimated probably $1.1 million. But that's the thing. A lot of people like that too. It's like Marcus May. Really, the Saints really need to think about kind of moving back. Because Marcus May, man, listen, he did some positive things. But if you poll the entire Who Dat Nation and ask them whether or not Marcus May should be released, I'm interested to hear what they got to say. So, matter of fact, let's do that. How about we do that, family? Let me see if I can get a poll going in the chat. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can put a damn poll up here in the chat, because I want to know what you guys think about that. Give me a second here. Let me get that going. Y'all hit the like button for me, please. But y'all just coming in the room. Let me see if I can put up a poll here. Hold on. Oh, crap. Hold on. Let me start a poll here. Give me a second. Let me put this up here right quick. Hold on. Y'all give me just a second. Let me put because I want y'all to engage here. And let me know how y'all feel about Marcus May. Should the Saints release Marcus May? All right. We'll put that up there. And we gonna start it. There you go. All right, it's up there. All right, the poll. Y'all chime in on. Y'all let me know how y'all feel about that poll. I got it up there now. And y'all already jumping on it. Damn, y'all fast, man. All right, so anyway, he played in 12 total games since he signed with the Saints as a free agent in 22. $7 million base salary, final season of his contract, which is significant for his age, 30 years old, performance, and availability. The Saints could save by releasing May. $1.1 million. Ain't big savings, but it's $1 million goes along with everything else. So advantageous for the Saints to release May as opposed to them attempting to keep him? You know, I often think about, like, the Saints are, you know, one of the oldest, if not the oldest team in the league. So right about now, you know, you at the back end of that window. We talked about it, like, when Dennis Allen first took over the team, we knew what we was doing. They understood the complexity of having a core, an older core for your team. And the solid core of the team is old veterans. That's, they're old productive veterans, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, Demario Davis, you know, Cam is usually productive. He had the ankle situation and so on and so forth. Taysom Hill is in that mix. You know, he's productive. So, I mean, and at some point you want to kind of gradually replace these guys, get them out, you know, and that's something that the Saints have to do a better job of. And safety is one of those things. They did a phenomenal job last year getting Jordan Howden out of University of Minnesota. And he was really good for.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For them, he came in, did some really good work, and but they need another one. Let's see if we can find another safety in this upcoming draft to bring in here for, you know, to add that new safety look for us in the future. There's also some stuff in terms of linebackers that we need to look at. They kind of added guys to replace Cam Jordan. Like, they got two guys that's currently on the team that were drafted. One with a first round draft pick. The other one was a second round pick to be potential heirs when Cam Jordan leaves. But where's your heir for Demario Davis? I don't believe it's Pete Werner. I think they need another guy. Pete's good, but they need another guy there. So it goes on and on and on. So, but you know, we'll get it. What's up, KB? Shout out to you. Good to see you. Slim, how you doing, brother? Molly Maul, good to see y'all. So I'm going to bounce back to that and kind of get that in the end and find out what's going on. She has the option here of whether or not to extend Andrus Peat. Peat took a pay cut in 2023, and I'm going to call you back. All right. So, extended Andrus Peat. Peat took a pay cut in 23, reducing his $11.825 million base to a $1.5 million and receiving roster bonus of $4 million for a total pay reduction of $6.3 million. That saved the Saints around $9.5 million against the salary cap. Peat's contract is set to void in the offseason. It will cost the Saints almost just over $13.5 million against the salary cap if he does. So if Peat's contract is set to void in the offseason, it will cost the Saints some money. While Peat initially lost his starting job at the left guard position, and in returning in a reduced contract, he proved he still has the value after subbing in at the left tackle when Penning was benched. If the Saints were able to re-sign Peat to a one-year deal at the same salary, $1.5 million, $4 million signing bonus, they could reduce the hit to just over $9.8 mil, which is a savings of almost $3.8 million, keeping them on the roster for an additional year. There would be a lot of variables involved, such as what position Peat plays, which he plays guard or tackle, and it would serve for Clint Kubiak, who would better be served to go and find his own type of offensive lineman to come in and do it, because I wasn't impressed with what Marone did last year with the offensive line. And he kept, and he wasn't replaced. He let it stink. The coach let it stink the whole year. So I wasn't impressed with that. But new leadership comes in. Different things can happen. Different philosophies can happen. Players look differently when different guys come in. So, you know, I still feel like we need some more guys to come in to kind of keep that competition going. But if John Benton, who's the new offensive line coach, comes in, and he does I think he'll do a better job than Doug Marone, what he did last year. And he brings some new stuff. He'll get these guys moving, kind of teach them the game. Things could change a bit. Think for a second, like what, you know, you had Coach Richard, what he was doing in the years with the secondary was, which, you know, when you had Aaron Glenn there, we had a pretty decent secondary. And then when Coach Chris Richard stepped in, you've seen different players step up and improve under a new coach. And then you've seen improvement when that happened, when Coach Richard left. And then you've seen Joe Woods come in as the defensive coordinator. His job is to take care of the cornerbacks. You've seen several Saints players at the cornerback level improve their play. That went up. Now, sometimes you'll get a coach that speaks your language, that defines the games, and not all coaches are created equal. Let's just say we know that. Not all coaches are head coaches or assistant coaches have speak the same language. Some are better teachers than others, obviously, right? So this could be a thing, but I still will be a guy that promotes for John Benton and Clint Kubiak coming in here to bring some of the guys that know their system in here to mix in with whatever he has left offensively speaking, because the cupboards are not bare here in the city of New Orleans. Listen, our offense could compete with the best of them. Let's get this together here. The only reason why the Saints offense suffered this year is because they had a good scheme. Sean Payton had this scheme down here for years and was kicking everybody in the NFL's ass. The problem was, in many of Coach Payton's years, he didn't put the defense with the offense. And many other things, sidebar things, like not doing a good job, staying too, tied to Drew Brees when Drew Brees was beyond his competitive years, when he should have been replaced. When he got hurt that year and he couldn't perform, he should have been replaced, you know, and the guys should have been brought in, because you can see, you know, you can't play. It's very rarely that you'll see guys that'll play that long at that high level. You can see Drew Brees really suffered for it because, like he said, he can't even use his right arm. And I don't know how accurate that is, but he said it. He got to learn to throw with his left arm because his right arm is messed up. That's terrible. But that's because they didn't know how to get the hell out the way and be visionaries. These people do this all the time. But anyway, before I get on them, this is the thing I'm talking about with what happens here. The offense that they had was not a bad offense. It was kicking the NFL's ass year after year. The problem was they didn't have true leaders running that offense. They didn't have any accountability. They didn't have a guy that was in there getting on these players and telling them to do the right thing. And when they make mistakes, take time from them. They didn't have the fear. They didn't have the fear or the respect of authority. Not saying they were bad players, but if you're a coach, and even Elvin Kamara said it, that guys were false starting and they just sitting up there looking stupid, not saying nothing. And I'm like, did they false start? No, if a guy false starts, he got to pay for that. If a guy fumbles the ball, he got to pay for that. Meaning, go do some running. You're going to do push-ups. You're going to pay for that. You're hurting the team. You're going to pay for that. One way or the other, there have to be some type of level of accountability. And they didn't have any level of accountability. All they did was make excuses for the errors and the bullshit that was going on in that team, in that offense. That's that real deal. So this guy comes in. What's the difference? He's a no-nonsense guy. He does have an accountability mindset with them, and that should help them improve, because they didn't have that last year. They had a good system with a milquetoast guy running it. They didn't have a guy in there like even if you don't like Gruden, you got to give it to Gruden. Gruden's going to fuss. He going to cuss. He going to make sure you do it right. You think Carmichael was doing that? Hell no, he wasn't doing that. The guy can't survive without Sean Payton. He can't survive without Sean Payton. So, I mean, anyway, it must be nice, right, to go run up under Peyton's skirt when you lose your job. Anyway, this is some of the savings and the potential savings. They talk about the trade or restructure. I'm not for trading Elvin, but he restructuring his contract at 29, the beginning of the season, coming off a year in which he had the fewest yards from scrimmage. That's not all his fault. Offense stunk. He was there. They underutilized Elvin Kamara. The offensive line was trash. You know, the offense was up and down like a dog, but Elvin Kamara was there after the suspension trying to do some stuff. And it was ridiculous, you know, in many games. Average $15 million a year, ranked second in the NFL behind Christian McCaffrey, which is what you hoping that Clint Kubiak can take this and turn him into. If the Saints restructure Kamara's contract, it will free up $8 million, but result in a significant dead money hit in 25 if they choose to move on next year. Trading him would free up over $10 million base salary and $1.6 million in bonuses, but would only save $1.5 million against the cap. It would also leave the Saints in a precarious situation at running back, with rookie Kendre Miller spent most of the season hurting Jamal Williams, averaging 3 yards a carry. Elvin Kamara could serve, and that is not an option, not right now. in a year, in a desperation year, you need he's arguably your offense's best player. For real. He's arguably the offense. And then it's how you use Elvin Kamara. It's how you use him. He's not just a running back. He could be moved all over the field. If you have imagination to use him, he could be used all over the field. And really, Elvin Kamara don't have to come off the field as much as he does. I mean, you can slide him into a wide receiver role and pair another running back behind the quarterback. I mean, it's all about imagination. And I think Kubiak, if he's going to take Shanahan's system and bring it here, I'm pretty sure he'll be able to find a way to utilize him where he can get more yardage and more miles out of Elvin Kamara, because he wasn't utilized right last year. He really wasn't. But you would expect the kind of million they're talking about, the $15 million, which ranks behind Christian McCaffrey, because they're similar backs. These are multi-purpose guys that'll destroy you on the football field. So I'm not for trading him, but they say a potential restructuring could save $8 million. Trades 1.5, so you can see what happens there. And, of course, she mentions the releasing of Michael Thomas as a post-June 1st cut. Saints won't be able to use Thomas or Jameis released to get compliant at the start of the league year, as both will have to be on a roster that day to be labeled post-June 1st cut. However, they can use the cuts to open up space for later moves. If Thomas is designated a post-June 1st cut, the Saints will get $1.21 million base salary back after that date. You see the savings there. The release of Jameis as a post-June 1st cut recently restructured contract in a way that would allow the Saints to release him as a post-June 1st cut and spread out his salary cap hit. He said that still wants to be a starting quarterback somewhere. So that's not going to happen in New Orleans, because Derek Carr is the man, you see. And the future in their minds is Jake Haener, and they probably will bring in another veteran quarterback, probably Sam Darnold or something like that, at a cheaper rate to occupy or be a backup quarterback. Guys are always going to bring the guys they're familiar with them. And Jameis is, as far as I'm concerned, Jameis Winston is not going to be a New Orleans Saint player after this year. So I hope he does, but I just don't see it happening. Other savings, a pay cut for Taysom Hill. Approaching players for pay cuts has been a part of the Saints' strategy. Pete Thomas Winston took pay cuts last year. Former kicker Will Lutz took a pay cut last season as well, but was traded. Players who take pay cuts are usually players who would be released at their current salary and would not be able to find similar compensation elsewhere. Hill, who turns 34 right before the opener, is still highly productive in his unique role for the Saints. He has led all players other than the starting quarterbacks in total touchdowns for the last 3 years. The Saints will likely open up several million in cap space if he agrees to take a pay cut to return. So all these things could be, I don't see the only thing I kind of, and this is just the option. She's not saying that, but it's just an option in terms of the Saints trading Elvin Kamara, because you got to look at all those things. You got to look at everything. You look at all things and what you can do. But in a desperation year, like in the last year of a Dennis Allen contract, you would not recommend that New Orleans Saints trade their best player, offensively speaking. Now, we know Chris Olave is phenomenal, but Elvin Kamara is a big part of what the Saints do offensively. And then with Clint Kubiak coming here to a offense that, like I said before, the cupboards are not bare here. We have a lot of really good players here. That can really help ascend and make the Saints offense a top five unit in this here league. And Elvin Kamara could have similar stats and statistics as a Christian McCaffrey. Those guys mirror each other a lot. So I'm pretty sure Clint Kubiak is looking to get Elvin Kamara involved more in his system. For it to have success, you're going to need that. And just sidebar before we kind of move on to the next article here. The Taysom Hill situation, we talked about this on the Friday stream, the last show that we did. And, we talked about some of the former players from the 49ers that Clint Kubiak, and of course, some of these guys under contract. But when you look at, how their offense was ran, you see how important a guy like Justin Juszczyk was for the 49ers. And it was like, okay, it'll be cool for us to get Juszczyk. But he is still under contract. But it bared the thought that in the Great Saint Think Tank was going on. And something said to me, And the family members in the chat was saying it too. I was looking at him like comparing the two, Taysom Hill and Justin Juszczyk. Now, Juszczyk is a guy that you call him a fullback, but he does a lot of things for the 49ers, right? So, you know, you look at Taysom Hill, and I'm saying, could Clint Kubiak have his first brilliant thought and says, I'm going to take Taysom Hill and turn him into Justin Juszczyk or create a role similar to Juszczyk that he has with, you know? And I look, I was like, okay, could he do that? We've seen before in the Saints' offensive playbook and on the field where they would use Taysom Hill as a fullback. We've seen the Saints use them. They'll put Taysom in there. He would block for Elvin Kamara, and he did a really good job of blocking because he's a running back. That's what Taysom is. He's a running back. He's not really a quarterback. I've been saying that for several years now. He's not accurate enough to be a quarterback. He is a running back. He play wide receiver, can do a lot of stuff, but a lot of his production came from him running the football.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.